to see you this evening. We'll turn our Bibles to James. I was thinking, it's been a little while, but we had our missionaries last week, and that was a tremendous blessing, having the Stokes here, and provide us a chance to dive back in. And I have to say that of all of James, I do really love James chapter 1, but James chapter 4 is, I think, the heart of the theological desire, the commands of God, the direction that we have for our lives. And so I am looking forward to studying this piece by piece as we go through this, and just looking at verses 1 and 2 here this evening. James 4 says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not." As we've been looking at this passage, we've seen that one of the main words that finished up chapter 3 is the last word of chapter 3. And that is the word of peace. That's right, peace. And so what does chapter 4 start with? War. So we have this dealing with the lack of peace in our lives. And so it's important, I think, to see some of the continuity in which he's been dealing with this. And we can clearly point to this aspect that this is not the wisdom from above. When we have these wars, and he said, we need to figure out what's the cause of this. Why is there infighting? Why is there disgruntled arguments? Why are we bickering? Why are we condemning one another? And he points to this area here. He says, it comes hence even of your lusts that war in your members. Now, this is kind of interesting to me in terms of the interpretation here, that he's talking about wars and fightings among you. That seems like he's talking in regards to interpersonal relationships, that there is conflict, that there's strife happening between people. But he says, where does that come from? Well, it comes from lusts that war within your members. Now, we could think of it in terms of we're members of a church and we're members of the Lord's body. But he seems to be pointing to the very members in terms of, I think in chapter 3, he already called the tongue one of your members. And so I think he's talking about, so where does where's the fighting happen out here? It's already raging on inside of here. I want you to just take a peek over. You probably know this passage well, but Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, we can see, I think, a cross-reference to the kind of war that is taking place in every Christian. And he says here in verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." There's an interesting aspect to that when you read that, the things that you would. So when you want to do what's right, you've got the flesh fighting against you and hindering you. And when you want to do what's wrong, the Holy Spirit is there fighting against you, and you've got this battle that you have going on inside of you. And so he identifies clearly here this same word. We've got the battle, we've got the conflict, the Spirit versus the flesh, and I think the key aspect here is the word lust that connects these two in the context of warring within your members. We're looking at desire. And I just look back at verse 15. It says, "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed." So in the context of this, it's the same type of context in Galatians that is in James here, of an internal strife. So You say, why am I having problems with my boss? Because I've got internal desires inside of me. There was a preacher who came through not too long ago, and he made this statement in preaching from James chapter 4. In fact, I think I can almost... it might have been 2 years ago. I'm trying to think of when it was. He says, off of this word, the piece of information here is that the word lust is the same word, it's the Greek word for, behind the word, our English word, hedonism. That is a life that's lived for pleasure. So this is a desire here of lust that says I'm focused on pleasure. And so here's the quote that I wrote down in my Bible. I thought, man, that was good. Now, this will preach. My sources of pleasure are my sources of conflict. My sources of pleasure are my sources of conflict. I think that summarizes what this verse is teaching. Why am I having conflict with people? Because I want something and I'm not getting it. And the stronger the desire of ourselves and our pleasure is, the stronger we might stand up and say, oh, no, you're not. You're not going to take that away from me. You know, when you think about one of the big, there's about five different things that cause real contention and problems in marriage. And one of them is money. And money is simply the ability to get the things that you want. And so it really comes into an aspect of where this is the tangible ability for me to get my desires fulfilled in my life. And oftentimes it can be money that is a very strong source of conflict. Why? Because it's our desires. I think what's going on in this passage is the same thing that's going on in chapter 1. Let's go back to chapter 1. We're going to see something here. Just this will be a quick reminder and we'll be done here. Verse 12 of chapter 1, he says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So here's the issue. There are troubles. There are trials. And there are situations in which all of a sudden we are in the squeezer and we just lose it. We give in to temptation or we blow our top and we are tempted, no pun intended here, to say, God put me in that situation. I hate it. And we can begin to shift the blame towards God. In fact, he's going to say here in verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. Do not make this mistake. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. So see everything in your life as being good from God. Do not blame God for any of our own failures. Where is the source for my failure? Verse 14, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Here's the great mistake. We are really good at projecting our problems on other people. Just go right back to Genesis chapter 3. And it's the snake, it's the woman, it's somebody else. And here in this passage, he says, when you're in a difficult circumstance, you will be tempted to blame God. He said, but our failure comes from us. And so the same kind of concept is going on here. When there's arguments and fightings, I know whose fault it is. It's the other person. Right? We all know that. We've all experienced that. And yet that's exactly where the Lord is pointing you, saying, what are your strong desires that are putting you in conflict with other people? And so we can begin to point the finger back. And of course, it always takes two to tangle. There's an element that we ought to be peacemakers. As much as lies in us, we ought to live peaceably with all men. And so, there can be fault on both sides, what I'm saying. But the reality is, for us, what can you and I control? We can look at specifically our own wants. And if we don't live a surrendered, humbled life, where we're saying, God, my life is yours. What I want doesn't matter. It's not my will, but thine be done. If we don't live that kind of life, you know what we're going to find ourselves in? Conflict all the time with other people. And that's exactly how God has meant that to take place. And in the end, we're going to find that, and I think we won't even go any further. That'll be good. One verse will be fine. He says he's going to talk about how lust, your lust cannot even satisfy. Even if you get the things you thought you wanted, that's not going to make you happy. God wants us to live not a life of fighting and scratching and clawing to get what we can get out of life to satisfy our own desires, but to live in dependence on God. That's what the prayer comes into this, and a submissive prayer at that. All right, that'll be our challenge in terms of that. So if you had an argument today, this was for you. I don't know of anybody that did, but I feel bad. If the Lord helps us. And if there's an aspect of you're not in an argument, you come out of one, or you're going to be going into one. So there's an element that this is very practical for our lives, and the Lord gives us good instructions to help us. All right, let's go ahead and...